We have no king but Jesus. Viva Cristo Rey. Yesterday, the Archbishop led over 300 persons, about a dozen priests, all the seminarians of the Archdiocese of Denver, in a procession of the Stations of the Cross around the Geo Detention Center in Aurora, full of immigrants awaiting deportation. They are currently building another, renovating an old prison to continue doing the same, to make more room for more immigrants being detained and deported. We went there not to protest, we went there to pray. And the Archbishop led the way, with Bishop Jorge accompanying him, myself and many other priests, and it was an incredibly beautiful day and an incredible turnout. We insisted, as we made announcements, it was very last minute, we had little time to prepare for this event. We wanted to do it during the week of Mother Cabrini, but with the Archbishop's availability, we pushed it ahead a little bit further to last Saturday. And the idea was that I would ride to the Stations of the Cross in light of the story and plight of the immigrant and refugee, aligned with the story of Christ and his own stations of suffering and death in the Stations of the Cross, and that we would all walk around the Geo Detention Center, praying for our brothers and sisters there and throughout the world, immigrants, migrants, and refugees. And 300 plus people. It was incredible. It was a good 2 hours that we prayed. And those Stations of the Cross are actually on our website. You can see them there in English and in Spanish, as well as the video from the Bishops of the United States that I showed last Sunday, now in Spanish. They did it in Spanish this past week, as well as in English. I would really encourage you to pray with those Stations of the Cross. I wrote them rooted in scripture, sacred tradition, the Church Fathers, the Catechism, and quotes from Pope Leo and Pope Francis. It is thoroughly Catholic, and in them you will see with great clarity how the Church has always taught that the most poor and vulnerable among us should be those who we most care for. And radically, in the writings of St. John Chrysostom, quoted in the Catechism of the Catholic Church, under the sections of the Ten Commandments, specifically, thou shalt not steal, that when we do not give our money from our money to the poor, we are stealing from them because they have a right to it if they don't have their basic necessities met. Radically challenging messages from the first centuries of our faith until today, consistent apostolic teaching guided by the light of the Holy Spirit. We prayed for our brothers and sisters from many different nations, incarcerated there, often treated like criminals, separated from their families, their children, being sent back to a country many of them hardly know or remember, having been here for decades. As we celebrate today the church, the solemnity of Christ the King, it's this sense of he's already king, his kingdom has come, but not yet. The walls between nations, of course, because of the sinful heart of human persons, we must have good boundaries, secure, safe boundaries around our countries. But in our world today, we see this not yet, right? With boundaries, with prisons, with detentions, with a broken immigration system that needs a complete revamp that is generous but just, benevolent and generous to those already here, but also safe and secure, whether it's suffering or sickness or death or other forms of injustice, poverty and the like. His kingdom is not yet fully realized. Yet we celebrate him as king, but it's the prayer of every Christian in this life here on earth that thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray that, and I don't think we often think about it. One, we're actually praying for the world to end, not in hellfire and brimstone, but in the sense that Christ would return in glory and all sin and disease and sickness and death and injustice and poverty would end, and his kingdom would finally be really, truly, fully present here on earth. Do you realize that as we pray the Our Father, we're hoping for him to come back, I don't know, before our graduation, before we get married, before our child, before our retirement, before we win the lottery, before the Broncos win the Super Bowl, right? We're praying for him to come now, because that's the longing of every Christian. It's better Christ come than anything else this world has to offer. In fact, next Sunday, we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent. The word comes from adveniat, and in Latin, the word is adveniat regnum tuum, thy kingdom come. That's literally what we're praying for in Advent, thy kingdom come. In history, as we prepare to celebrate Christ coming in the flesh, his birth, Christmas Day, in majesty, his return one day in glory, we know the day not, and his coming to us in mystery, as he does now in this most holy sacrifice of the Mass, in word and sacrament. Adveniat regnum tuum, thy kingdom come. Christ our King, thy kingdom come. The cry of Advent is to come, come Lord Jesus. We celebrate and remember his coming by his birth, but we long in the face of so much sickness, disease, injustice, and death for his kingdom to come now. Not just that the war in Ukraine would end or the horrific things happening in the West Bank and Gaza would end, but that his justice and peace would have the final word and we could finally rest in the joy of his kingdom. But is the kingdom not yet? Christ chose to rule and show his power and authority not from a throne, but from the cross. He was crowned not with gold and precious jewels, but with thorns. They mocked him because evil has nothing to give of its own. The evil one can only mock because he has nothing of himself. He is the lack of all that is good and holy. He is nothing to himself. And so all that he brings is mockery, jeering, ridicule. And Jesus experienced it on the cross, naked, suffocating, drowning in his own lungs, filling with fluid, blood, and water. He hung there humiliated between two thieves with that mockery above his head, King of the Jews, not realizing how true that was and is. And they made fun of him, his own people, the soldiers, even the criminal to his side. Evil will not have the last word. But what it does bring is nothing but mockery. It has nothing of its own, but lies in the absence of all that is good. And so we align ourselves with the good thief who recognize that Christ is innocent, who also recognize that we deserve punishment for our sins. But instead of punishing us justly, Jesus comes and takes the weight of our sin upon his shoulders unto the cross to forgive, redeem, save us, and welcome us into his kingdom in heaven. Christ's death and resurrection reminds us that death doesn't have the last word, that death is our birth into heaven. In fact, the feast day of saints that we often celebrate is on the day of their death, not on the day they were elected pope, or on the day they performed some miracle, or on the day they became a religious sister or brother. We celebrate often their feast day on the day of their death because that day is their birthday into heaven. And there's no greater birthday than that. As we confront the continued injustices in our world today, especially mindful of the most vulnerable in our country, Scripture throughout the Old Testament and New have been clear. God has always had a preferential love for the widow, the orphan, the alien, and the poor. But today, not only do we emphasize the unborn and the ravages of the slaughter of the unborn through abortion, but also our immigrant brothers and sisters who live in constant fear. Is the National Guard coming here next? When are they coming? If they're opening more prisons, it's because they plan on detaining more people, children separated from their parents, kids sent back that came here so young that do not know their country of origin, do not remember it, people that have lived here peacefully for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, not criminals, but hard workers who fill our pews and our churches and who worship God and hold themselves to a higher law than civil law, and that's the law of the kingdom of heaven. And they're being ripped from their children's arms, detained in places where they should feel safe, houses of worship, or picking up their kids from school, or hospitals, or courtrooms, and then sent back to a country they remember little of. As the kingdom of Christ is continuously mocked and jeered at, his justice, his calls, our church's call, rooted in him for peace, for prosperity, for a preferential option for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the alien. We pray today that his kingdom would come through your efforts, because the Second Vatican Council taught in a radically clear way how it is you, the people of God, that will usher in a new springtime in the church. In the Middle Ages, when the church was fraught with corruption, its members in particular, leadership, God raised up St. Francis, St. Dominic, and later St. Ignatius of Loyola, painted above me, the founder of the Jesuit Society of Jesus, Teresa of Avila, St. John of the Cross, etc. And through them, the church was renewed and rebuilt. But today, we are in need of that as much as ever. Except the Holy Spirit made it very clear to the fathers of the church in Vatican II that that would come from you all, the baptized faithful, called to be saints, the people of God in the world, working, setting laws, voting for people, and setting standards of care for others that reflects the values of the kingdom of God. Not any political party, not any particular ethnic background or history or culture, but one faith, one hope, one baptism, one God and Father of us all that's reflected in Christ the King, who came to show us how to reign. Because to reign is to serve. And if we don't serve the poor, we are not Christian. Our teachings could not be more clear. You'll see that in the Stations of the Cross. To reign is to serve. And Christ did so unto the cross. So how are you?